Yeah.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Mike Petraglia joins us, CLNS Media in Cincinnati on the Bengals as we start previewing the conference championship games. How are you, Mike?
I'm good, Tony. How about you?
Not bad. Let's get to this Bengals team and what happened in Nashville on Saturday. Yes, they won the game, but Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times. How much of a concern? Is the offensive line been that shaky, or was that an anomaly?
It's a combination. The interior offensive line, having gone back and watched the game in detail, did not do well. They've got to shore up their center position, Trey Hopkins, Quentin Spain, and their right guard have to do a lot better than they did on Saturday. There's no question about that, because you know that Chris Jones and Hakeem Adeniji was the other guard I was trying to think of, by the way, for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Adeniji, Quentin Spain, and Trey Hopkins have to do better, because you know Chris Jones is licking his chops. And the Chiefs had 4 sacks when they played on January 2nd. The Bengals survived that game. They also had 6 quarterback hurries. They've got to be better. And you also have to consider Melvin Ingram, who's been a game changer, as everybody knows, in Kansas City's defense. Ingram has been one of the big reasons the Chiefs went from 24th to 6th in overall defense over the last half of the season. And Bengals have to really account for him. The good news, if you're the Bengals, is that the tackles, for the most part, Jonah Williams and Isaiah Prince have played well, though Jonah Williams did not have a good day on Saturday. So they've got to find a way, whether it's bringing in an extra tight end, an extra fullback, or like a guy like Samaje Perine, they've got to find a way to protect Joe Burrow better. And Burrow's got to get rid of the ball when there's any doubt in his mind. He held on to the ball too long on about 2 or 3 of the sacks. And, you know, Chuck, those were the big ones. Those were like the 10 to 12 yard sacks. You can't have those in Kansas City.
Some people make a big deal of these things. Some people make no deal of these things. But when we get a rematch in the playoffs, we tend to look back on the season. It was not that long ago that these two teams met, Mike. Is there anything from that game that you saw the Bengals do that said that could come back to help them in this game against Kansas City?
I would say their ability to get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase in space. And I don't know. I'm thinking, okay, that Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs, is going to come up with something different, some different coverage bent in his secondary to account for what Ja'Marr Chase did to them in space. I mean, everybody's seen the joystick play where Ja'Marr Chase catches it about 18, 20 yards out, backs up, and fools like 5 Kansas City defenders and races right into open space for a touchdown. They also saw the blown coverage at the beginning of the second half where Ja'Marr Chase got open in the middle of the zone and Burrow found him. I mean, I don't know if those things are easily fixable or not when you have Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins on the other side from Ja'Marr Chase. And the good news for the Bengals in that game is they really didn't use all of their offensive weaponry, even though Burrow had 446 yards passing. And I think if they do something with Chase, Burrow's smart enough to go, okay, well, I'm going to go to Tyler, I'm going to go to T, I'm going to go to C.J. Uzama. He's got a lot of options that he can go to if they do something with Chase. That's the good news.
This Cincinnati team has gone up and down this season where I thought they were the most dangerous team in the AFC. Then they would come back and lose, and I'd go, well, maybe I was wrong. And then they'd go right back to being as dangerous as I thought. There's been a cycle to this season, like, you know, like a lot of teams that go through. But right now, 2 close playoff wins that matter to the history of this team. How are they playing right now?
Defensively, I think they're playing very well, and particularly in the red zone. The Bengals have allowed their opponent in the red zone 8 times. They've allowed 2 touchdowns. That's very good. That's why they've won 2 close playoff games. If you can find a way, and Lou Anarumo said this on a Zoom call on Monday, If you can find a way to allow teams to pile up yards between the 20s and then you hold them to field goals in the red area, you're going to win games. It's not about the yards, it's about the points, and that's where I think the Bengals' defense has improved significantly. They were pretty good throughout the year. They've been incredibly good in the postseason, and that's obviously going to be key on Sunday. Can they hold, you know, Travis Kelce like he showed on in overtime Sunday? Can they hold him without a touchdown in the red area? Can they contain Mecole Hardman and obviously Tyreek Hill and Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Can they hold them at bay in the red area? That's what I want to know.
How important is or is not Joe Mixon to this offense?
Boy, that's a great question because he's important. He hasn't had the explosive runs, but if you want to know how important he is, after Joe Burrow's run for the first down on third down Saturday in the third quarter, they gave it to Mixon. He read the blocking to the right, cut back to the left, untouched for the touchdown. That's what the Bengals need to do in the red area more. They haven't been great in the red area, 3-for-8 in 2 postseason games, but Mixon gives them that threat to run and break out big, big runs at big moments. And so the short answer is he's very important.
All right, I want to get to something fun before we get back to the X's and O's. How much are we, is the city of Cincinnati embracing Evan McPherson? Because he's now a folk hero.
Very much so. Money Mac, Shooter, a lot of nicknames for him. I'm sure the endorsement deals are coming here in the city of Cincinnati. He's going to be on every car dealership commercial in the offseason. There is no doubt in my mind about that. The city has embraced him. They love the fact that he's like Joe Burrow, very cool, Joe Cool, Evan McCool, and that he has ice water in his veins, and the moment's not too big. Even Saturday, with the season on the line, with the kick, you can look at his eyes, and he's like, I got this. And, of course, there's the great clip of Joe Burrow after the game saying, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship. And that is something that people in this town love. They love a guy with personality who is enjoying the moment. It's not all business. It's not all, well, you know, we've got to do our job. We've got to show up every day, put our work in, blah, blah. All the cliches you hear from NFL players at this time of year. You can tell the kid out of Florida is enjoying himself.
You bring up something. How much does Burrow influence, especially younger players on this team?
Oh, a ton. I'd say he influences them by what he doesn't say. Like, Joe Burrow is not going to talk a lot. He's just not going to. He's not a rah-rah guy from everything we've been told, everything I can glean from being around Burrow throughout the season. He'll pick his moments, and that's why Friday night before the Titans game, when he said, you know, guys, why not us? I don't want that. We're not an underdog.
Yeah.
Start acting like it is us. Like CJ Uzama modified his expression for the season. He said, well, it is us. Act like it. And that's all he had to say Friday night. And the players were like, okay, Joe, that makes sense. And that's a great point. Let's act like winners, and we will be winners.
And something we've been talking about this week, and taking that game, the Chiefs-Bills game, and saying, wow, these are the two dynamic young quarterbacks. This game may be something larger for this league, that if you're an AFC team, you're looking at that game going, I better be able to do that. Is there a feeling that Joe Burrow is either 1A with those guys or at least 1B with those guys?
So I wrote yesterday, go on clnsmedia.com and read my column. You can find it on Twitter at Trag, T-R-A-G-S. The lead of my column was Patrick Mahomes versus Joe Burrow. And the whole point of the first half of the column was, yeah, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes is a great matchup. To me, the bigger, better matchup is Joe Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes. We've already seen it once on January 2nd. Joe Burrow is the intellectual, savvy, can move the pieces around on the chessboard against Patrick Mahomes, who is a freak of nature. And That is not to disparage Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen, to me, is a modern-day Drew Bledsoe with a better run game, meaning he can run the ball a little bit better than Drew did, a lot better than Drew did. Strong arm, can throw the ball in any conditions, but Joe Burrow, to me, is your classic NFL quarterback who can read pretty much any defense that is thrown at him. To me, it's Burrow against Mahomes. That is the matchup, I think, if Burrow stays healthy, we're going to see in the AFC for years to come.
Mike, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much for helping us with the Bengals, and enjoy the game this weekend.
You got it. Take care, Tony.
You got it. Mike Petraglia, love having him on, and good stuff. And interesting what he said there at the end. Again, CLNS Media. Check out that column about Burrow versus Mahomes being the future of the AFC. Mike Petraglia joining us on Wake Up Call on a Progressive guest line. Progressive, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. We'll dissect some of that when we come back on Wake Up Call.